And I call this, that you may choose what is best. And we're moving through this prayer in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And we're moving through it pretty slow. But we're looking at all these different phrases. And again, this is what Paul prayed for the Philippian church. Because, as I said, teaching is not always enough. Paul was in prison. He couldn't teach them. He could write to them. But then his letter would have to be 150 pages long. But he prayed for them. And prayer, as I've said, prayer can do more than teaching. Because prayer is not limited by our understanding, by our hearing, by distance, by presence. You can pray for people you've never seen before. And God can work in their life. And so what we want to do is look at how Paul prayed for the believers, and then let that be a formation of how we can pray for believers. Not that we just pray everything that's here, because some of the people we're praying for don't need everything that's here, but they may need some of these things. And so as we're going to be talking today, that you may prove or display what is excellent. And, you know, we can pray that believers will live to this principle, that they'll be able to not just choose the good, but choose the best in their time of prayer. So let's go through this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And it is my prayer, or I am praying, because this is an active work, continual work. Paul didn't just pray this one time. He prayed for them all the time, but he's summing up some of the things he prays for them. And this is my prayer, or I am praying, that your love may abound. We've talked about that. But not just abound, but abound more and more. That not just that you got more abundance in your love, which means to fill full and go beyond, but also that it just increases. So how can I have more than enough, and then more than more than enough, and then more than more than more than enough? So Paul is just praying that this go on, because the more we experience things, the more we pray for things, we want that to increase. And this is the foundation for everything else Paul says through this prayer. Now, again, as I've said, this is one sentence. And so Paul is offering this, but we're looking at this in phrases that he has offered, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment. So you need knowledge, not just about the problem, but knowledge from God as to how to pray.
That's right.
We don't always know exactly how to pray. And I know we as Pentecostals slip over into tongues, but the purpose of praying in the tongues is so that you know how to pray.
Yes.
That's what Paul says, that we can know how to pray. The purpose of prayer in the Spirit is so that we can then pray with the understanding. And so this is an important principle, that we are able to pray not just with knowledge about their problem, their need, but also the knowledge from God as how to deal with that problem. Because as we look at the situations, I don't know. Is it this I need to pray for? Is it that I need to pray for? Is it something that I'm not even aware of that needs to be prayed for? I need God's help. And so as I pray in the Spirit, God gives me the words to pray. He gives me what information to pray so that I can direct my prayer to the thing that needs to be done. And we do this, it says, so that you may approve what is excellent. So this is the verse we're looking at today. Last week we talked about approving, and in the sense that approving what is excellent is not my evaluation of it. And say, well, this is excellent. Yep. I'm approving what is excellent. I'm agreeing with what is excellent. That's the word approve is better translated display. That I might demonstrate what is excellent. Not just recognize it. Well, this would be the best thing for them. But I need to display that. I need to demonstrate what is excellent. And so approving As I say that, that idea of approving is kind of a, we lose the understanding because to approve to us means to evaluate it and agree with it. Yeah, we approve of Alabama winning the game yesterday. I approve of that. But that's not what this is about. This is about a demonstrating. And what are we demonstrating? Our love, that God has helped us through knowledge and discernment. He's helped us to know how to pray for them. This is all about us praying. And so all of this is so that I can pray what is excellent, so that I can demonstrate, I can display in the love that God has put in us, we can make display of that by praying for them and praying for what they need and praying for what is right. So we do this, but then the next phrase is where we want to look at today, approve what is excellent. And this word excellent has a lot of meaning to it that, in a sense, gets hidden. And so I put this down there, that we may display what is excellent. That we may display what, not what is good, not what is better, but what is excellent. Because there's nothing wrong with good. It's what? It's good, right? There's nothing wrong with better, it's better. And so comparatively, there's nothing wrong with those two things. So here's what Paul is doing. Most of the commentaries, as I said, they translate this idea of approve, but it doesn't mean to evaluate and so give our approval. Most commentaries choose to offer a more expressive translation of make demonstration of or display. So I can display what is excellent. What is excellent what? In my praying. That in my praying, I am choosing what is excellent for them. Not what I think is right. Not what I think would be the best for them. Because what I think might be good for them might not be. Because there might be something better. But more than better, there may be something that's excellent. That really gets to the root of the issue that is facing them. And so I'm praying for believers. Listen, this is not about us just reading this prayer. And it's not about us just saying, well, I'm praying for my class. I'm praying for my brothers and sisters. Concentrate. What does God want you to pray for those people? This is not just a quick breathe, you know, prayer out. God, just bless all the class. No, I want to know what is needed. And God may direct my attention to one person that's in this room, or one person that's in the congregation, or one member of your family, or one church that God suddenly puts upon your heart, or a nation that God wants you to pray for, that the gospel break through, and through those who are ministering there, which might include praying for people to go there. And there are dangerous places in the world. Going to Nigeria right now is not an easy thing because of the warfare that is there and the persecution and the absolute slaughter of Christians that is taking place by the Muslims in the northern part of Nigeria. Do you feel like you're called to be an evangelist there? Wow, that's difficult, but there are people that are. And there are churches that are there that are standing up for the gospel, refusing to bow their knee to Islam, and finding their lives put in danger or lost. But they're willing to pay that price. Am I willing to back them up with prayer? Pray for their children. Pray for those that do survive. Pray for God's protection to come over them. Pray for their enemy to be stopped. And so that God can put all these things upon our heart. Don't just say, well, help Nigeria. Okay, that's okay. That's good. But there's better. There's excellent. What exactly needs to be done? I'm going to choose what is the best. And that's what this idea of the word excellent. You see it down there at the bottom of your page. Excellent is dia ferrero. And dia ferrero has the idea of going all the way through something to find the best. And the prefix on there, dia, means to go through. So I'm not just looking at what's in front of me. I'm pressing through to what is the best. And this is not an idea of just throwing a prayer out there. This is meditating before God, listening to God, drawing from the knowledge, then discerning what needs to be done, approving or displaying what is excellent. I want to pray what they need to receive. And God can help me with that. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Believe that God can help you know exactly what people need?
Yes.
To get to the root, people share that they've got a family problem going on and there's this need, and we can just pray, well, Lord, bless their family, you know, and help them to get along. God could direct your prayer to exactly what needs to be done. Now, I'm not saying he's going to share all their dirty laundry, but he is going to give you direction of how to pray and what to pray for. Sometimes to pray against the root of something that is really there, and the root needs to be pulled out, needs to be removed. Walls need to be broken down. Sometimes the people have put up barriers in their life, and the barriers are established so that, in a sense, God can't get through. They may have anger in their life, and they've set up a barrier that it's, you're not going to get through that. I'm going to be angry, and I'm looking for vengeance. I'm looking for revenge. Is that not a problem in our society today? But we shouldn't enter into that area of vengeance and revenge. Justice will take care of itself. And we say, well, justice isn't doing it. You don't know that. Pray for the justice to be done. Pray against those who are not delivering justice. But don't pray that they die or be removed or for violence to come against. That's not us. We're to pray for righteousness to be established, for justice to be accomplished. And if they need to pay a price, let justice take care of that.
Amen.
Not me.
That's right.
Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Not you. Not a poll. Vengeance does not belong to society. It is what God wants to be done. And our leaders are supposed to do that. Romans chapter 13, God put them there for that purpose. If they're not doing that, pray for the leader. And if the leader is not doing it, pray that God will raise up somebody to take that place. So these are all things that need to be accomplished, to pray what is excellent. So Paul skipped out of the comparative. He went for good, and then the comparative better. But then he totally got out of that word and entered into a whole different word with this word, diaphoreo. And what it simply means is to push all the way through, in a sense, to the goal. Push all the way through to what's excellent. And sometimes that's hard for us. I may have to change my mind about how I was going to pray. I might change my mind about what I was going to pray.
Yes.
And it might change my mind about the whole situation. I need to press through to what is excellent because I don't know that. I know I'd like to, and I'd like to say, well, I know what needs to be done. How many have ever heard someone, you know, use that phrase? Well, I know what needs to be done there. Do you? Do you really know what needs to be done? So we need to push through to what's excellent. Sometimes it's not what we think. I know that's difficult, that you might be wrong, but I know sometimes it happens. You know, once in a while, we realize we're wrong. And God has to correct us, but then we have to listen to the correction. So it's like, okay, God corrected me, but I'm still going to do what I want. That's never happened with our parents, has it? No. Sometimes maybe you can't even remember how you responded to your parents. God does. He can help remind you. You're not 10 years old anymore. Throwing a temper tantrum wasn't good then, and it's no better now. All right, now none of us have ever done that, but we know people that do. So now, here it is. As we do our best to walk in love, again, I've said this in our other classes, and here it is. Not everybody is lovable. Amen. Not everybody is lovable all the time.
That's right.
There are times when we have to push through. Not to find their love, but to find ours.
Amen.
How am I going to respond to this? We've all been abused. We've all been rejected. We've all been cast aside. Just made irrelevant. And sometimes people think what we believe, that our Christian belief is irrelevant to the situation. It's not. And they treat us like it is. But you know what? I need to press through that to find what is excellent to pray for them. Well, what's good? Well, what's good is that they change their mind. That would be good. What's better is that they not just change their mind, but they act differently. What's excellent? That God get to the root of the issue.
Amen.
And maybe there's something deep in their soul that needs to be changed, or maybe they need to come to Jesus. And, you know, we talk about a come to Jesus meeting. How many have ever had one of those? Yeah. And so we need to pray that they will have a come to Jesus meeting. Mm-hmm. That's okay, if that's the best thing. So we don't choose what is the most excellent. God does. He shows us that, and then we have to pray, press through to pray that. Because sometimes what God asks us to pray is difficult for us. Mm-hmm. It just not the easiest thing for us to do. And I'd rather, you know, they pay a price than me pray for them. All right, I'll stop walking on toes here, but okay, no, I won't. Like I said, we can pray for what's good, and that's good. We can pray for what's better, and that's a great choice. That's good, too. But we need to change this. And search for what's excellent. And only God can show us that. But then after he shows us, we have to pray it. Now, sometimes in your praying, God may even say, you need to go talk to them. You need to insert yourself into this situation. But that's part of you praying what is God's best. And if that's what he wants, then that's what you should do. So we do all of this, and it doesn't come for our observation and estimation, but from God's love that's inside. So I've got to find God's love, but he's given me knowledge and discernment to find it. And so that's what I'm praying for others. And, you know, as I pray for this class, and I pray for you on a daily basis. Sometimes God will show me a face, or God will show me a situation. Sometimes he gives me things to pray, and I don't know who it's about. But that's what I want. Because God didn't just set me here to teach you. He set me also to pray for you. And Paul took that seriously. He wasn't just an apostle writing letters. He wasn't just an apostle standing before congregations on a periodic basis and teaching them. He prayed continuously, consistently. And if you remember, go all the way back to the beginning, this is what I pray. The Greek verb pray there means it's an active voice. I'm doing it. I'm bringing this to my remembrance. I'm not just waiting for God to give me something. I'm seeking what it is you want me to pray. And so it's not just waiting for God to say, hey, you need to pray for this. I'm going to prayer, and I'm seeking what God wants me to pray for. So all of this is important. Any of you believe it's important? Do we believe it's important?
Amen.
Then let's do it. Because agreeing that it's important, that's just approval. Yeah, that's good. But doing it. And that's where we come to this next phrase. That you might approve what is excellent. What's the best choice? Press through to the best thing. And listen. And so be sincere and blameless. You see, the only way I can be sincere and blameless is when I've pressed through to what is excellent. See, all of these phrases build upon one another. And so if I'm seeking to love, as Paul prayed, to abound in love, if I'm seeking to abound in love, then I'm going to have to press through to what is excellent and therefore be sincere and blameless. And the idea of sincere, the Greek word helikrines, comes from two words. The word hel or hela refers to the sun. All right, so that comes down even to our modern use, helios, which has to do with the sun, and krines, which means to judge. So the idea here is to judge by the sun. And a translation for this is to be pure, sincere. And the idea of that is that there's nothing impure within. I'm not praying with false motives. I'm not praying superficially. I'm not praying just, you know, on the surface. I'm praying for what is the best. I want to see. I'm praying for them to find what's excellent and therefore be sincere in my prayer. Be sincere in how I'm praying and what I'm seeking for them. Not my idea, but God's idea. The idea of helikrines, to be judged by the sun, comes from a number of different ways that it was used in Greek society, and some of you have heard me go through this before. Helikrines had to do with judging a sculpture. And sometimes the sculptor would take the marble dust that had collected at the bottom of his chiseling and working and sanding, and there would be defects in the skin, chisel marks, things like that. It wasn't perfect. So he'd take the marble dust and rub it in plastic and wax and then smooth that over. Smooth it over so that it took care of the, I don't want to say wrinkles, but anyway, moving on. Cover the defects. And so you look at the statue, that's perfect. But then you set it out in the sun for a little while. And the sun warms up the stone, marble, and the wax melts. And there you can see all the defects. So you don't buy it, you don't accept it until you've found that it is sincere. That you found what is pure. It's also used when they would judge wine. They would take the wine because they didn't have what we call glass bottles. There was some, but they weren't really like we would look at. Most of the wine was contained in stone pots, clay pots. And so you couldn't see the wine. You couldn't tell whether there was impurities in there or not. So you would take a board, and you would pour some of the wine on the board out in the sun, and the impurities would show up as the wine was flowing across the board. And you say, oh, here's a tiny little worm, and there's a spider, and there's a piece of dust, and there's some junk that settled at the bottom. I'm not fond of spider wine, to be honest. You know, and so there's all these little bugs and stuff that were on the grapes when you mashed the grapes and then you stomped them out and you squeezed it all out, but some of the impurities came too. Now, we got bottles. We can look through. If you look through a wine bottle and you see stuff floating in there, don't buy it. Just be honest. Don't buy it. It's also used in the marketplace when you were going to buy a piece of cloth. And all the in the bazaars and the shops that were there, they were deep in tents. And you would walk into the tent and there would be different colors of cloth and whatever. And so you're looking for a certain piece of cloth, but you don't buy it inside. You take it out in the sun. And if the shop owner says, no, you can't take it outside and do that, well, I'm going to another shop. Because you take it out and you put it in the sun, you can see that, well, the dye is not perfect. It's darker here and it's streaked there and there's defects in the weaving. And no, this is not a piece of cloth I want because it's been judged by the sun. All right, how does this work with us? That our life needs to be, quote, judged by the sun. Who's the sun?
Jesus.
And also, we could say his word. Also, we could say the Holy Spirit. And so, we want things in our life that have been judged by the Son. I want my motives to be pure. When I'm praying for someone, I don't want jealousy, revenge, or superiority to interfere with my praying. I don't want my disdain, my disinterest. I'm just praying because somebody told me to pray, so I'm just praying. There's no honesty in that. I need to let my prayers be judged by the Son, and therefore be sincere. The idea here is the opposite of another Greek word that has, in a sense, the same root. Hupokrites. Change the U to a Y. That's what we do from Greek words. We take the U and change it into the Y. And what have you got? Hypocrites. And so hypocritical means it's fake. I'm not being honest. I'm speaking from the Greek word was used for in the theater. They would have those big masks, and one smiles, and one frowns, and one's got a big open mouth, you know, it's like shock or surprise. The actor wasn't any of those things. He was speaking from behind a mask. He wasn't happy or sad. He wasn't surprised. He was just wearing a mask. Folks, take off the mask.
Amen.
Stop being, can I put it in a four-letter word? Fake. Stop being fake. Don't be hypocritical. False teachers are hypocritical. They say what they got is from God, but they know it isn't. But they want you to believe it is. So they teach it. Paul talks about hypocritical liars, 1 Timothy chapter 4. They are getting their doctrine from the demons. But they want you to think it's coming from God. And so they say, the Lord said, go back to Jeremiah 23, all the way through Jeremiah 23. He says, don't listen to the prophet say, thus saith the Lord, because the Lord has not said. Just because they put those words in their mouth doesn't mean they're coming from me, because I didn't say them. And so people can easily say, God showed me. God told me. That's easy to say. I just said it. Doesn't mean it's true. Personally, and I don't want to disrupt everything, I don't like to listen to teachers who say, God showed me this, when they're reading from the scriptures. Because if God showed them that, I don't have a right to believe anything else. And they have just put themselves on equal status with the one who wrote the letter. I want to hear what you've studied, what you've found, what you've looked at by comparison. I'm not saying the Spirit can't direct you, but what I'm teaching you right now, I'm not going to say, God showed me this. You won't hear those words come out of my mouth except that I just said them. Because this comes from my study, my comparison, looking at context, studying words and phrases, so that I'm teaching you the best that I have found. I'm a teacher, not a writer of Scripture. And so that is being hypocritical. And if I say in my prayer this one thing, and I'm trying to obscure what's really true. Literally, the Greek word hypokrites means to obscure from judgment. I'm trying to hide you from seeing what is really true. I'm telling you one thing, but it's not really the truth. I'm wearing a mask. And folks, we don't need masks. If we're walking in love, if we're demonstrating the love of God, I need to take the mask off. If I say I'm praying for God to bless you, that's not just words. It should be honest. It should be true. If I'm telling you that I'm praying that God will direct you and help you and lead your family to a place of peace or reunion, that you will, God will restore your family, and that I'm praying that honestly, not just words coming out of my mouth. It's truly what I am desiring for you. I'm not speaking emptily. It is not an act. It is not fake. So this word, hypokrites, is in a sense the opposite of helikrines. Notice the same basic ending, same root for these words, krines and krites. To judge. Judge by the sun or obscure from judgment. Am I hiding from you what I'm really saying? Am I speaking from a false motive? So this idea, helikrines, goes back to motive. What's the real motive in my heart? I don't care, but I'm just saying the words. I want you to think I care, but I really could care less. Could care less, couldn't care less. Could care less, couldn't care less. I always get that phrase mixed up. I really don't care. So I'm not trying to obscure. I'm not just trying to puff you up. I'm not just, you know, speaking words to say I care when I don't really care. All right, I'm going to, in a sense, hang us all here. We say, if you need me, call me. But we didn't give him a phone number. Just saying. And if they call, it's like, oh, man. Are we sincere? Are we sincere when we converse with our brothers and sisters? Are we actually looking for what's best, excellent in their life? In my walking in love, am I really going through to that? Now, Paul isn't teaching them this. He's praying that it happen. He's praying that this take place in these people's lives. I'm teaching you these things, but it's deeper than that. It's deeper than what I can teach you. It's God actually changing things in your heart so that you do this. I can't change what's in your heart, but I can pray that it change. Just like I'm praying for things that are out there. And so I'm praying for you to be able to pray effectively in this manner so that what you're praying for is what's excellent. The second word here is blameless. If sincere is the motive, blameless is the display of it. All right, so my motive is to be sincere and blameless. Sincere is inward, blameless is outward. Blameless is what people see. Literally, the Greek has the idea of catching a thread. It's the idea of, you know, somebody's got a sweater and there's a piece hanging down from it. And you say, well, I need to pull that. Sorry, you got this hanging down from your sweater, so I'm just going to pull it off. And the next thing you know, you've got what? No sweater. Got a big hole there, right? Oh, I didn't mean to do that. Thank you very much. And so the idea of blameless is nothing to catch you by. That I'm living in such a way that there's no strings following me that you can grab a hold of and catch me by. It doesn't mean I am perfect, though sometimes, unfortunately, that's the way the word is translated in some Bibles. But it's not perfect because I can't be perfect. My inner man's perfect, but this outer guy, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And Doc Holder is here as another 91 years.
Right.
So the idea is there's nothing behind me to catch me by. You can go back and talk to the guys I was in high school with, and you're going to hear things that I wish you never heard.
Yeah.
That I will never tell you.
I know.
And well, you don't know everything. But here's the point. You may know that I did that and realize that I'm not perfect. But listen, there's no strings behind me that you can catch me by. What I was then, I am not now. And my graduates and my friends and those guys who are with me that sit around, you know, the bowling alley and sit around the same tables and drink the same beer and all that stuff that are still doing that, I could show up in there and they would say, aha, we remember you. But there's nothing they can catch me by.
Amen.
Because those things don't exist in my life today.
Amen.
So when it talks about choosing leaders for the church, 1 Timothy chapter 4 or chapter 3, Titus chapter 1, one of the words he uses is blameless. That doesn't mean they're perfect. Paul wasn't perfect. He approved the murder of people. But he was blameless because those things weren't following him now. There were no strings that they could catch him by. And so, you know, that's why football players now wear those tearaway jerseys. You can't pull them down just by grabbing their jersey. Hopefully. But this is the idea. Sincere in my motives, in my inner desires, because I'm looking for what is excellent, because I'm motivated by love. And so what I'm praying for you is what is excellent, and I'm sincere. But I also want to be blameless. I don't want people to say, yeah, but you don't really believe that. You're not really praying for that to be done. And if you're praying for it, why aren't you helping them? If you're just praying for somebody to be helped, get involved. Now, sometimes I can't. And because that's, maybe it's distant. But Paul didn't let those things stand in his way. I want to be blameless. I don't want to just want what's good for them. I want to get involved and help it be right. And one of the ways I can help it be right is through prayer and seeking what is best. So these words used together, Paul throws these words together here because it's got to be both inward and outward. If we're praying, let's do something. If we're praying for people to be blessed and to be helped and to be brought to peace, families to be brought to unity, then let's do something about it. Let's help them. Let's get involved. If we're praying for them to be healed, lay hands on them. Pray for them to be healed. Don't just walk by and say, hey, I'm praying for you, and walk away and you never did. All right, just talking. Just talking to the wall. Okay. The love God desires is not just inward. We need to act upon it. Love needs to be not just a motive, but an action. Paul's going to get to that in the next phrase. Aren't you happy I'm just going phrase by phrase? Sometimes word by word. Yeah. You say, Paul wrote this in one sentence. Jeff, it's taken you 5 lessons to get here. It's okay. I'm not in a hurry. Jesus didn't come back on Tuesday. So there we go. Yeah, unless we all missed it. I don't know anybody that did, so I don't know anybody that got raptured on Tuesday. So here we are. Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, that your Spirit dwells within, and he is the helper for all of these things that we have been discussing and talking about today. Thank you, Father, you've helped guide my words to express what you really desire. And Father, as we investigate Paul's prayer, we can see elements of how we need to set our hearts to pray efficiently, effectively, sincerely, so that the best can be done for those whom we pray for. I don't just want them helped a little. I want them helped to perfection. That's my desire. Father, I don't know all the things that I need to pray. We don't know all the things that we need to pray. There's things I don't even know about. You can show me, and I believe that you will. And I believe that every one of us in here will seek to love more and more, to choose those things that are the very best, to be sincere and blameless in our prayers, that you might be glorified. And we thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.